The following program is sponsored by the Living Church of God.
Why can't so many couples make their marriages work? Why do they have to be so miserable and unhappy? Are there laws and principles that can actually make your marriage joyous? Yes, there are. And in this second part of our series on marriage, I want to give you more of these keys to a truly joyous marriage. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith discusses Building a Strong Marriage, Part 2.
What a tragedy it is that so many people are miserable in their marriages. Yet it is interesting to note that very few young couples have any real training in how to be good husbands or how to be good wives. We spend years training our doctors and lawyers. We spend years training our pilots and astronauts. Even most successful businessmen and women spend at least 4 to 6 years in college first. Yet for marriage, one of the most important endeavors in all of life, most people get virtually no training whatever. But are there laws, basic laws and principles regarding marriage that everyone needs to understand? Last week, I discussed with you the vital necessity of commitment and communication. Those are two of these keys. Commitment, number one. Number two, communication. For Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, and I want you to listen to this and turn with me in your Bible, follow me, check up on me. Don't believe me. I don't ask you to believe me in these programs. You believe what you read in the pages of your Bible. Notice what Jesus Christ himself said about marriage back in Matthew, the 19th chapter, and beginning in verse 4. He answered the Pharisees and said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." That means let not the couple separate from one another. It certainly includes, frankly, the laws of the land ought not let people separate from one another as quickly and easily as they do. The whole society has gone wrong in this. That's why we have all these divorces. And the divorce rate would be even higher, my friends, as most of you know, except so many people are living together without benefit of marriage. They don't have to have divorce. They never got married in the first place. They have not learned that marriage is commitment, that marriage is a matter of joining together, of becoming one flesh, one heart, one mind, one unit in God's sight. It is a covenant that you make before God with your Creator. And every young couple needs to learn that, and every old couple as well. You young people who aren't married yet, you need especially to think about that. Learn to make a commitment to your marriage. Don't have an out. Don't have a side door where you can slip away from your marriage. Don't plan to fail. Plan to succeed. And decide that you're going to make a commitment to your future mate. That is so important. Another key, the second great key that we covered last time, is communication. You've got to really communicate with your mate. You've got to share your plans, your hopes, your dreams. You've got to open up to this other human being so they can really know you and understand you. And a wife especially needs this so much, as I explained last time. And most husbands, of course, don't talk or communicate as much as they should. They try to be the strong, silent type or whatever. We've got to learn to communicate. Jesus Christ showed us that even God the Father shares with us. Kind of interesting to think of it that way, but that's the way it is. Notice back in John chapter 15, reviewing this key verse again. John chapter 15 in your New Testament. Notice what God says here about this matter. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you," Jesus said. You've got to love one another in the church or as Christians. How much more a husband and wife loving each other? Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus laid down his life for the church. He gave himself for the world. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then he went on, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. God wants us to obey him, to walk in his laws, because they are good for us. No longer do I tell or call you servants, Jesus said, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus told us the Father's will, the Father's purpose for human life, all about what God wants us to do. God shares that with humanity. How much more should men and women in marriage, husbands and wives, share with one another? A young man normally has all the time in the world to talk with, to flirt with, to share with his sweetheart before they get married. But after they get married, he sometimes comes home, flops in front of the TV with a beer or a cup of coffee or something, and then he starts watching the boob tube, and of course he doesn't learn anything from most programs. Hopefully this is a great exception. And he doesn't communicate with his wife. And so they have a sort of a silent marriage much of the time in the evening. But all of us men need to realize how vital it is that we continue doing this communication, this talking, this loving, this sharing after the wedding and throughout our married lives. It's so important. Learn to take walks with your wife or husband. Share things. Talk with each other. Take trips together. Have a night out together to a restaurant or somewhere and get away from the kids and the relatives whenever you possibly can. You men need to learn to court your wives all over again. Court them all over several times a year. Go off somewhere together if you can, and at least go out at night, go out on weekends, and do things together. Now let's move on to the third key of a joyous marriage. Key number three, learn the giving approach. Learn to give. That's so absolutely vital. I covered that a bit last time at the end, but I want to spend more time on this now. This is one of the most important things, my friends, in all of life. We've really, really got to understand this, get along with others, and most of all, to get along with our mate, the one we ought to love the most, the one who ought to be the best friend we have. Acts chapter 20. Turn in your New Testament, and here you find a great example of this. Acts chapter 20. And beginning in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the Apostle Paul said here, talking to the Ephesian elders, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel, he said. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. Paul worked as a tent maker in the daytime, and at night he no doubt conducted Bible studies, maybe services, visited people, helped people, prayed for people, encouraged people, and of course on the weekends, on the Sabbath, he conducted services as well. He gave of himself during the day and during the night. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Learn to give to others, support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Think about that. It's more blessed to give. Are you a giver or are you a getter? There are two types of people in the world when you break them down in that kind of a category. There are the givers and the getters. And of course, we understand there are certain shades of gray in between. None of us are perfect and none of us are totally bad. But nevertheless, some are predominantly givers and some are predominantly takers or getters. Sometimes you go into a room and someone is giving of himself, he's talking, he's laughing, he's trying to encourage others. And then others just try to work the people to get something from them, or they sit there and contribute nothing to the occasion, whatever. Think about that. And think about that in regard to marriage. Do you try to enliven your marriage by loving, by helping, by encouraging, by giving yourself and your personality? Not just in giving money to your wife to buy the groceries, but in helping her and encouraging her, building her up, inspiring her. And you wives, do you greet your husband with a kiss when he comes home from work? Do you encourage him? Do you try to prepare wonderful meals for him? Do you try to enter in his life and talk about it and encourage him in his work and his job and his hopes and dreams? Each of us needs to do this. Marriage is a classroom, my friends. It's a laboratory to help us learn to give. There's no other place on earth where you can learn to give in that way as much as you can learn to do so on marriage, constantly, all day long. Every husband should give in providing for his wife, encouraging his wife, protecting his wife physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually. He should help her and encourage her so that she has a wonderful and a full life and feel that she's appreciated as a human being. And every wife should help her husband. She should give in helping him, encouraging him, inspiring him, building her husband up in the way that she helps him have good meals and be sure he gets his sleep and that he takes good care of himself so he doesn't have a heart attack and dies on her and all the rest of it. And spiritually, encouraging one another to seek God, to live right values, and to fulfill the purpose of human existence. Each of you giving to the other. That's so important. Giving and giving, helping and serving. In Matthew chapter 22, turn to the book of Matthew, if you would, with me, following along. Matthew chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse 35. Then one of the Jews here, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Love God with all of your being, because He's the one who's the giver of every good and every perfect gift, every beautiful sunrise, every beautiful sunset, the child of a little cry. Every wonderful thing you've ever known comes from God the Creator. You're to love Him, to worship Him, to adore Him. This is the first and great commandment, Jesus said. But there's another special commandment, and so He goes on and mentions that. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor. Not just barely love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself. And all of us love ourselves if we're normal. Now, some people don't have even the proper self-esteem, especially today. They lounge around, they waste time, they're on drugs, they feel guilty, and then they can't love others as much because perhaps they have not even learned to love and appreciate and respect themselves as they should. But you've got to learn in the right way to love your neighbor as yourself. And your mate, your husband, your wife, is your closest neighbor, sure ought to be. And you need to learn to get inside your wife's or your husband's mind. Think about what they're thinking. Think about what they want. Think about their hopes and dreams. And thoughtfully help them to be genuinely happy and to fulfill their human potential. That's so important. Try to help them. Again, build them in a thoughtful, intelligent way to fulfill their lives and to give them a happy marriage, to give them a wonderful life. And if you do that, you'll find they'll give back, and they will give and give, and your marriage can be very, very happy. Two people giving to each other. That's the whole thing. You've got to learn that principle. At this point, I urge you to call or write today for our vital new booklet. This is a brand new booklet, Build a Joyous Marriage. This booklet is chock full of information you need to build a happy marriage with, a joyous marriage, yet it will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So call or write today and request your free copy. Your copy is absolutely free for this brand new booklet entitled Build a Joyous Marriage.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Now back to our topic of building a joyous marriage. We were in Matthew chapter 22. I want to repeat verse 39 again, my friends. Jesus said, the second great commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about how you would like to be loved. Think about how you would like to be helped and encouraged in your marriage. Then do the same for your mate. Try to give yourself to this other person mentally, physically, emotionally. Help each other and truly build each other's lives so you can have a wonderful marriage. Again, the whole idea is giving. Lay down your life for your mate, and you will find that he or she will much more likely lay down her life or his life for you. Now let's go on to the fourth and final key that I'm going to be giving you today. a key to a joyous marriage, we must not leave this one out. You know, it's something that the young people often think is the most important, and it is very important, but we must not leave it out today. That's romance. Romance. No matter how long you have been married, no matter how old you are, and some of you may be in your 70s or 80s or 90s, you must never neglect this aspect of your marriage. And I've talked to a number of old folks. I'm not exactly a spring chicken myself, but I've talked to a number of people up in their 70s and 80s, and they tell me the same thing. If you leave romance out of your marriage, it hurts. Romance is something that can only be properly expressed in marriage. It is something that binds a couple together in a very special way. And God intends this. Many religious people don't understand that, but God intends that you experience romance and the right kind of sexual fulfillment in your marriage. Yes, God Himself intends that it be joyous. Certainly many older people have grown up with a kind of a Victorian attitude. They were taught that our bodies are nasty and sex is evil and all this kind of thing. Most know better than that today, but still some people have this sense of guilt and repression. It does not come from the Bible. It does not come from the Bible at all. And yet for most people, there's the modern hedonistic approach, you know. Have all the fun you can get, whatever. If it feels good, do it, as we say. And break all the laws of God, break all the laws of man, play bunny rabbits with sex. That's not God's way evil either. It just is not right. I said evil because evil's in my mind there. That's not God's way. It hurts in the end, and people can be down. They can be very, very absolutely disillusioned if they misuse sex or misuse anything else as far as that's concerned. Often we read about the college students and how so many of them and people of that age have a very high rate of suicide. Why? When they interview many of them, they find out that they have tried out sex prematurely. They've drunk too much. They've been drunkards. They have tried drugs and maybe been spaced out on drugs or actually wrecked their minds with drugs. They've tried everything. And then they say, well, now what is there? Now what is there? Because they've misused those things. It's usually not the thing that is evil. It's the wrong use of a thing. A glass of red wine is not evil. It's the wrong use of that is a sin. Sex is not evil. It's the wrong use of sex that is evil. And God tells us that a husband and wife are to be bound together as one flesh. And we've made that plain in this program. And God makes that very plain in His Word. But a young man and his girlfriend, or a woman picking up a man at a bar, that is not marriage. That is not what God wants at all. And that hurts us physically, mentally, emotionally. When we get into loose sex and kinky sex, it brings emptiness, it brings sorrow, it brings disillusionment, and some kinds of course, often it brings unwanted children, or it will bring venereal disease. And today, with the advent of AIDS, it may bring premature death. You pay for it. And God certainly puts laws there. Then those laws are working laws. They're absolute laws that work just like the law of gravity. You drop something, it automatically comes down. And you break God's laws of sex, and you automatically suffer. You really do. And you need to understand that. And yet, if you obey God's laws, and you love one another in marriage, and you only use sex and romance in marriage with your mate, it's a wonderful thing in God's sight. It is building your marriage. It is building a happy home. It is building a joyous place in which your children can grow up. Notice what God says back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 7. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart. In other words, learn to enjoy life in the right way within God's laws, of course. For God has already accepted your works. God's going to bless you if you try to do things His way. Yet let your garments always be white, and your head lack no oil. Learn to enjoy life in a right way. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life which He's given you under the sun. We do have a vain life, my friends. Most of you know that. We're here today and gone tomorrow. But that does not mean, of course, that there's not a purpose in life. Because the hope of the Christian is the resurrection from the dead. And you may not be there unless you learn the lesson that God wants you to learn in this life and learn to have the right kind of marriage as well. So learn to live right and learn to live happily, but within God's laws. Live joyfully with your wife. All the days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. God says, learn to enjoy your mate. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Strive for a loving and romantic atmosphere in your home and throughout marriage. God wants that. He's ordained that. He intends that. He made us male and female. He made our emotional desires for one another. He made our sexual organs. He made our psychological, neurological responses. He's the one that created all of that. He's not embarrassed about that. But he tells us how to use it, doesn't he? He tells us to use it in marriage, to build a happy home. In Proverbs chapter 5, and beginning in verse 18, back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5 and verse 18, notice what God Almighty inspired to be written here. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and be always enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Why would you go to some pickup out here somewhere and misuse your body, your mind, your emotions in a cheap way that denigrates and puts down the meaning of marriage and home and family? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Eternal, and he ponders all his paths. Yes, God is watching us. He is seeing whether or not we will learn to use the gift of sex in a right way. Sex is a gift, but it must be used in the right way. I know I've encountered some working men that were Christians, though, and I really appreciated the atmosphere, a number of them, just men that were carpenters, ditch diggers, whatever. And every now and then I've heard them comment how they met a woman, or I've even seen them, frankly, do this once or twice, where they'd say, well, no, I'm not interested. I'm a family man. That's the term they use. I'm a family man. And this loose woman got the picture right away. This man has a wife. He loves his wife. He has no interest in all this monkey business. I am a family man. And that's what God wants all of us to be, a family man or a family woman. Learn to hug, to kiss, to caress your wife, your husband, to give yourself to them in every way. Be grateful that you have another human being and have a God-given opportunity to have and to hold this person whom you love. It can be very special, if it's something that you are using as part of your marriage covenant to enrich your lives together. Both of you should plan to take time for romance all through your life together. Be physically clean and attractive. A lot of men don't know how to do that. They don't think about it. Learn to take a shower in the evening. Learn to get cleaned up. Learn to use some cologne or perfume or whatever, you husbands and wives. Take a nap in the afternoon or early in the evening if you get tired in the evening. Don't always be too tired. Don't be run down. Build your health and put yourself into marriage just like you'd put yourself into a successful career, because your marriage is such an important part of your life. Again, kiss and caress your mate throughout the day. Kiss her before you leave for work in the morning. Kiss her when you get home in the evening. Come up behind and give her a squeeze while she's doing the dishes at night, or help her do the dishes. And in a thoughtful, loving way, try to create a loving and romantic atmosphere in your home. That's so important. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 now in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13 in your New Testament here, near the end of the New Testament. Notice here what God inspired to be written in this part of His Word. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. That's what God says. The marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So we are to understand that. The misuse of sex, of love, and romance is a terrible thing. It cheapens marriage. But in marriage, God blesses, and God looks down with favor and smiles at His children if they have a wonderful marriage with their husband or wife. He's happy to see a young couple loving each other in marriage and building a home. That's what He planned as our Creator. That's what He ordained. And so God ordained sex and marriage can be a wonderful blessing. Turn to Acts chapter 20 again. Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read just verse 35 this time. Acts chapter 20. Notice again what Paul said. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this giving attitude in every aspect of your married life is vital. It's vital in your sex life. Go in there to give, to help, to serve, and present your mate to yourself, my friends, as a special human being. As you think about your wives, you husbands, think about her as a beautiful human being. Some of us are older. I am, and my wife is older, and we've been married many years, and very happily so. But I have to think of her and do think of her. I don't have to work at it, but I think of her beautiful eyes and her face and her hair, and somehow I remember her even when I'm looking at her or times apart from her, as though she's just as beautiful as she was when I first married her many years ago. And perhaps she thinks of me that way. She says, I'm good looking, and I look in a mirror and I say, how could she figure that out? But we think of each other in a loving way. And because there is that love grows. And when I look at some young girls in their teens or 20s, they may be very pretty, and I can understand that objectively, but my wife is special because we built something. We've shared our lives so many wonderful occasions, having children together, traveling together, doing things, going through the ups and the downs, and she shared with me and helped me and encouraged me through many trials and tests over and over again, and I can never forget that, and the beautiful sparkle in her eyes, and what she means to me. And I present her to myself in my mind and in my thoughts in that way. And that's what all you husbands need to do, and you wives, likewise, in presenting your mate to yourself in a very special, a very loving way, and then give to that mate. Know that that person is precious in your sight, and lay down your life and give them a happy marriage in every way. And that's so important, and it will be a blessing to you, an absolute blessing throughout your physical life. In closing, I want to urge all of you to call or write immediately for our brand new booklet entitled Build a Joyous Marriage. This easy-to-read booklet will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. It will spell out for you these keys I've been giving you and will give you additional keys for making your marriage truly joyous. So call or write immediately for your free copy. Ask for the booklet on Joyous Marriage.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
And tune in next week at this same time for more vital information affecting your life and your future. See you right here next week.
For the free literature offered on today's program, call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again, 1-800-934-5579. The preceding program and all literature is sponsored by the Living Church of God.